This is Tommy Keene, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org and add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to wgxc.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marxist of Ghent, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe with the WGXC Daily News for Thursday, May 4th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Roger Hannigan-Gilson reports in the Times Union that the New York State Corrections Officers and Police Benevolent Association claims that seven prisoners at Coxsackie Correctional Facility were hurt in an April 23rd fight they say was the result of gang rivalries. Two of the prisoners were pepper sprayed, according to the union, to stop the fight. In all, seven prisoners received minor injuries and were treated at the infirmary, one slashed by a sharpened chicken bone. The union did not report any injuries to corrections officers. The union's press release about the fight includes denouncing recent law passed limiting solitary confinement in prisons to 15 days. But the press release does not specify how the fight was started by the law or would not have happened without the law. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Raymond Pignone reports for Columbia Green Media that there is still no news about the New York State Attorney General's investigation into the death of Jason Jones in the Catskill Police Station in 2021. The attorney representing the estate of Jones wrote a letter to Attorney General Letitia James asking for a status update. On May 2nd, Alexis Richards, a spokesperson for the Attorney General, said in an email that the investigation is continuing and that the office has no further comment at this time. Albany Attorney Kevin A. Lubrand said, quote, "The civil case is moving forward, but I sent a letter to the Attorney General asking about the status of the criminal investigation. I expected to hear something by now," unquote. Catskill Village Police Officers Mark Nazi, Daniel Goldpaw, and Nicholas J. Craig are accused of using excessive force, failing to follow accepted police procedures, and running away rather than giving Jones medical aid in the lawsuit. Jones, a former star athlete at Catskill High, entered the Catskill Village Police Station, doused himself with an alcohol-based hand sanitizer, and then the officers used a stun gun on him that set him on fire. A video recording then shows the officers running away instead of helping Jones, who had not been charged or suspected of any crime. Quote, "For approximately 6 minutes, the defendant saw that Jason Jones was having difficulty breathing and had sustained burns to his head, face, chest, neck, abdomen, back, arms, hands, and torso," unquote, the lawsuit alleges. Jones suffered external first-degree and second-degree burns and died in a hospital 46 days later. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Patrick Adcroft reports for New York One that Governor Kathy Hochul was in New York City May 3rd, touting the new state budget that passed more than a month after the deadline. She was especially crowing about the crime and public safety measures in the budget. Hochul said that changes to state bail laws will give judges greater discretion when setting bail for serious crimes. Hochul also said there is $347 million in the budget meant to drive down gun violence, reduce recidivism, stymie the flow of fentanyl into the state, and improve the court system. Hochul said, quote, "We're not just making reactive investments, we're being proactive. This is what we call holistic approach to criminal justice. We're going to get at the root causes in these communities and find out why the young people too often are making the wrong decision. It's about investing in those kids right from the start," unquote. Republicans bashed Hochul on crime issues in last year's elections, and many political observers said they believe the attacks led to flipping several congressional districts from Democrats to Republicans. Read more about this story at the New York One website. And WNYT reports that the trial for three Rensselaer County Republican officials on ballot fraud is expected to begin June 26th. Last week, Richard W. Crist, the county's director of operations, James R. Gordon, director of the county's Bureau of Central Services, and Leslie A. Wallace, a longtime political consultant listed in public records as an, quote, assistant for constituent relations, unquote, in the office of Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin, were indicted on charges of conspiring to use their official positions to violate the constitutional rights of county employees under them and intimidating them into requesting and filing absentee ballots. They each face up to 10 years in prison if convicted of conspiracy to violate constitutional rights, while Gordon faces up to 20 years in prison for witness tampering, and Wallace could get 5 years in prison for making false statements. Read more about this story at the WNYT website, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, May 4th. Local early morning temperatures range from 37 degrees in Tannersville to 45 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 49 degrees. Pollen levels are still low, but tomorrow they are expected to start rising again. And you know what is in store for today. More scattered rain, cloudy skies, and a high of 56 happening at 5 p.m. Overnight, there's a small break in the rain, not that anyone's going to notice. And we see a low of 42 degrees happening just before dawn on Friday, which will have more rain, a high of 62. And then the warm, dry trend begins. 45 degrees overnight takes us into a sunny Saturday with a high of 68. Sunday, same deal, sunny, high of 70 degrees. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 2:45 a.m., low tide at 9:23 a.m., high at 2:59 p.m., and low again at 9:30 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 52 degrees and the tide strength will be medium. Sunset today will be at 7:42 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:43 a.m. Looking way up, we see the sun is getting more active. We have a 15% chance of X-class flares today. The Eta Aquariid meteor shower will happen over the weekend. A bright moon is going to wash it out a little, but density is expected to make up for it thanks to Jupiter's gravitational influence. Solar wind speed is currently 419 kilometers per second at 5.6 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 15 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board with good conditions below 8 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 1.6, quiet. The current sunspot number is 143, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Say, Dad, I have an upset stomach.
I've got just the thing. Dr. Whitaker's Larded Atoms. Dr. Whitaker's Larded Atoms combine the smooth, pleasing flavor of lard with the soothing qualities brought to us through science.
It smells funny.
That's our special ingredient, uranium, the scent of the powerful atom. It's strong, but that's how you know it's working. Feeling better yet, sweetheart?
Sure am. Thanks, Dad.
Don't thank me. Thank science.
Dr. Whitaker's Larded Atoms in 5 or 10 ounce bottles at your local grocer.
If you think you're smart, then use your cranium. Start each morning with uranium.
Hey, daddy, hey, yo.
Hey, daddy, hey, yo.
Oh, hey, daddy, hey, yo.
We just heard Umar Kanate with Heya Deheyo. This is from the indestructible beat of Soweto from 1986. Udukatila Shange Namajaha with Soba Bamba. We'll be right back.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
Your vote is precious, almost sacred. It is the most powerful nonviolent tool we have to create a more perfect union.
The late Georgia Congressman John Lewis addressed the Democratic National Convention in 2012 about the suppression of voters' rights. New census data shows registration rates in the 2022 midterms were the highest in 20 years, with voting age citizens registered to vote topping 69%. Nearly half voted early, in person, or by mail. The Federal Reserve has raised its key interest rate by a quarter point to the highest level in 16 years, and Chairman Jerome Powell says regulators have yet to decide if today's hike will be the last.
My colleagues and I understand the hardship that high inflation is causing, and we remain strongly committed to bringing inflation back down to our 2% goal.
Powell says it's essential Congress raise the nation's debt limit to avoid a default. Lawmakers have until June 1st to strike a deal. Iowa Democrats say they have a solution to losing their leadoff spot on the party's presidential nominating calendar. Hold the caucus, but withhold the results until other states report theirs. Iowa Democratic Chair Rita Hart says the plan shows Iowa's willingness to work with the DNC.
Iowa Democrats will do what's best for Iowa, and that means moving forward with the most inclusive caucus process in Iowa history.
The DNC voted earlier this year to replace Iowa with South Carolina as the first voting state for 2024. New Hampshire has signaled its intention to keep the state's first-in-the-nation primary, regardless of how the DNC restructures the voting calendar. The union representing more than 11,000 writers of film, television, and other entertainment are on their third day of a strike. Writer Sean Crespo tells the Associated Press the demands on writers have been building for years.
There's too much work and not enough pay. Like, there's not really a path to middle class living anymore as a writer.
Artificial intelligence is also a concern. The last Hollywood writer's strike in 2008 took 3 months to resolve. Governor Ron DeSantis is expected to sign legislation this week to shield the travel records of the state's top leaders from public record laws. DeSantis says he did not propose the bill, but it is backed by law enforcement.
You know, some people can agree with that, some people are not, but I think it's motivated by a security concern.
Florida Democrats criticize the bill for also shielding disclosure of with whom state leaders are meeting and why. A bill in Texas would allow the Secretary of State to overturn the results of an election in the state's largest county and order a new one. The bill targets Democratic-leaning Harris County, which includes Houston, and could force a new election if at least 2% of polling stations run out of ballot paper for more than an hour. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. America's voters should pay attention to an Ohio State constitutional amendment to make its statewide ballot initiative process harder. The process to pass it is just about as ugly as the anti-voter resolution itself. The Ohio House and Senate passed House Joint Resolution 1 in March, which raises the bar to pass statewide ballot initiatives to 60% from the simple 50% plus one majority in place since 1912. The proposed hurdle now needs voter ratification, urgently in the eyes of those who want to stop a proposal to constitutionally enshrine abortion rights headed for the November ballot. What's a gerrymandered legislature to do? The Ohio Capital Journal reports that Senate Bill 92 restores an August 8th special election date, which had been eliminated just months ago because of low turnout, just 8% on average, and its expense estimated at $20 million. Those statistics didn't deter the Ohio Senate from passing SB 92, or in the House, where it's likely to pass before May 10th. Governor Mike DeWine has pledged to sign it, despite having just signed the bill to repeal it last year. The formidable bipartisan opposition includes former Ohio governors and over 200 groups, but so far the legislature seems more interested in partisanship than precedent or people. We have links to the legislation, articles, and groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
WGXC has a new call-in number for anyone to leave a 3-minute message that we will play back on the air. Listeners can leave as many 3-minute audio letters to the editor at 518-212-7509 as they want, and WGXC will let your voice be heard on the local airwaves. The number again to call in and record a 3-minute message that will be played back on 90.7 FM is 518-212-7509. 212-7509. 7509.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I was listening to a program where an interviewer was interviewing somebody about solar power and made the questions much too long, dragged them out into painful choices. The guest is the one who has something to offer. That's the reason there's an interview. And a simple question like, what are the reasons why people buy these panels should suffice? Then we get right into the meat of the problem and go on with the program. Long, drawn-out, repeated, repetitive questions just don't help. That's the Brian Lamb was the ideal interviewer on C-SPAN. He asked, what happened then? What did you do next? What did that lead to? Very simple questions which got real answers from the people that were on the program. That's it. Thank you.
It's time for the Flora and Fauna Report with what's going on with the animals and plants at Wave Farm in the last few days. And the story here is all the rain that fell. So much rain over the weekend and continuing into the beginning of the week, and more predicted on the way. That rain has led to all sorts of things at Wave Farm. We had a beaver spotted in the first pond where the Zachpots Pond Station is. Zachpots Pond Station got a little overwhelmed by mud or rain. I think the so much water overwhelmed it. But it's fixed now. Got it. The microphones out of the mud, as you can hear. And all the rain has really supercharged all the growth of plants. Some of the grass has gone 2 inches higher in just a few days because of all the rain. Certainly the trees are blossoming and filling out. You can no longer see through the woods. There are dandelions everywhere. And as you can hear, the birds are out and about at Wave Farm. Here's 2021 music from Modor Maktor. This is Afrique Victime.
Victima, le pan de clima, si vous nous dîmes.
There are so many things to listen to on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. You can even add your own event and have it read on the radio. Go to wgxc.org, click on the community calendar, and then there's an add an event button. You just click on that, fill in the blanks with whatever event you're helping to organize, and soon enough it'll be read on the radio and seen around the world at wgxc.org in the community calendar. Thursday, May 4th, there is the Spring Movement and Music Storytime going on at the Hudson Area Library, led by local musician Abby Lappin. That's at 4 p.m. at the Hudson Area Library. Gothic polka meets surf punk as the Dirt Surfers perform with the Dust Bowl Fairies at Keegan's Ales in Kingston, Thursday, May 4th at 6 p.m., 6 to 9 p.m. Friday, May 5th, Christopher Tigner, Earth and Sea, and Connor Armbruster perform at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. WGXC should have a live web stream of that event and have it on the air from 8 to 10 p.m. The entire show is from 8 to 11 at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Saturday, May 6th, there are signs of spring in a guided hike at the Eldridge Research Center in Rensselaerville. Garrett Chisholm is hosting the spring hike to discuss phenology, the study of seasonal changes and timing in nature. So learn about the springtime changes at the Eldridge Research Center Saturday, May 6th. The walk is from 10 a.m. to noon. Also Saturday, May 6th, the Star Cinema's Upstate Films in Rhinebeck shows The Crucible. The Oh My Art Center in Ghent has a writer's reading group. Their writers in residence are sharing what they've been working on. Sunday, May 7th, there's a plant sale luncheon and lecture at the Temple Israel of Catskill. It's from 8:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. The morning plant sale is from 8:30 a.m. to noon, with annuals, perennials, herbs, succulents, hanging baskets, and more. All proceeds benefit the Temple Israel Cemetery Fund. Just Eat It as at the Orpheum Theater in Saugerties on Sunday. That's at 12:30 p.m. It's about food waste and more. Sunday, May 7th, there's a Hunter Synagogue tour starting at the Hunter Synagogue, 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. It's a tour of the Hunter Synagogue, led by historian Carol Slutsky-Turnowitz. Sunday, May 7th, there is a Oakdale Forest Performance and Sound Map unveiling. That's at the Oakdale Park from 2 to 3 p.m. in Hudson. Part of the Hudson Youth Center's summer camp. And every Sunday, there's traditional Irish music session at the Shamrock House in Durham. That's from 2 to 5 p.m. out on Route 145. These are all on the community calendar at wgxc.org. And remember, add your event there and you'll hear it on the radio at 90.7 FM. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
200 solid waste advocates came to Albany on Tuesday, May 2nd. 58 environmental organizations joined Beyond Plastics and NYPIRG for the rally and advocacy day to say, New York is not disposable. Emmy and Tony Award-winning actress Blythe Danner and National Poetry Slam champion Melissa Lozada Oliva joined state legislators to call for the passage of two bills that would greatly reduce plastic pollution statewide, the Packaging Reduction and Recycling Infrastructure Act and the Bigger Better Bottle Bill. Even though the legislature was more than a month late in adopting a state budget, they still expect to adjourn for the year in early June. We first hear from Assemblymember Deborah Glick, the chair of the Assembly Environmental Committee and the lead sponsor in the Assembly of the two bills. We then hear from Alexis Goldsmith, National Organizing Director at Beyond Plastics. Goldsmith said that New York State is awash in single-use packaging, pumped into the market by big companies, Plastic packaging blights our communities, cannot be effectively recycled, waste tax dollars, and makes climate change worse. Plastic production is forecast to double in the next 20 years, but it doesn't have to be that way. New York legislators can lead the way by adopting the Packaging Reduction and Recycling Act and the Bigger, Better Bottle Bill this legislative season, according to Goldsmith. Plastic accounts for nearly all packaging that cannot be reused or effectively recycled, and it contributes to climate change during every stage of its life cycle.
I think we did pass my Birds and Bees Protection Act out of the Assembly. I have started this new role saying that we have to make it easy for people to do the right thing. That is my mantra. And so change is hard for people, but people, given a little time, adjust. So I don't know if you realize what a fight it was to get rid of single-use plastic bags, but people have adjusted, and we generally don't have bags and trees anymore. So it's not something in their face. They don't know they had a success. So you have to remind people that taking each step does have a positive impact, and making their friends and family more comfortable making changes is not a big deal for them, but it's a big deal for the world. So the Bigger Better Bottle Bill, we're carrying that with Senator May. We hope to, you know, we're in a bit of a problem in that the budget was delivered to us approximately 2 weeks late from the governor. And then obviously we haven't actually finished. So after this week, there are 17 days of session. And that is an unusual super crunch post-budget. Usually we have a couple of full months, and so it's going to be a very big challenge. But I'm an optimist, or I couldn't keep doing this over all these years. And we have good partners sharing the sponsorship. The issue is everybody else in both houses. Last week, that have to be convinced. So I want to thank you for being here to lobby on these crucial matters. And I say there are just a handful of simple things we have to do to change the course of very negative environmental damage. We have to build renewable energy as quickly as we can and build transmission lines to get it everywhere really fast. We have to stop poisoning the earth, small task, and we have to stop just using the world as a trash can. So, but we have arrayed on the other side a lot of interests that, as you know, find it very easy to scare the bejesus out of people and to tell them that they're not going to have any heat in their homes if they go to renewables, and if they want to get rid of, you know, plastic waste, then, you know, they're not going to have any products in the stores, and the end of, you know, civilization as we know it will come because of these bills. My point is the end of civilization will come without these bills. So we're going to work really hard to get everything done. And sometimes we have to make compromises because you don't always get everything you want. But I believe that you get as much as you can and then you come back and fight for the rest. Our bills are solid as they are. We understand we might have to make some, you know, that terrible word, compromise. But if you get the final result that is substantially what you wanted, that is a victory. And we have to remind people that getting that first step is a victory. And then we come back and fight. I'm used to fighting. I joke that when I started, I was 5'8", and that it's beaten me down, but I'm still here and I'm still fighting. So I promise to you that we're going to work as hard as we can over the next few weeks to get as much as we can, but the goal is to get it over the finish line to begin with. And then if we have to come back to get the rest, we will do that. But I thank you for being the face of New Yorkers who are determined to see that successive generations do not have to clean up the mess that we've created. I remember milk getting delivered in bottles outside in an insulated box that were picked up. The empties were picked up, they were sanitized, and then they brought back more product. We have to make people realize that there is, in fact, you know, in the chemical industry, as we get rid of fossil fuels for heating and transportation, they know that their products that are plastic, the petrochemical industry is shifting, and now they're going to fight like hell to be able to keep pushing plastics into the world, even though they know they can't clean them up. So we have to be out there being the face of New Yorkers saying, we can't wait any longer. There's no need to have an endless discussion. We went through this with the tobacco industry. We went through this with climate deniers. And now we're going to go through it with plastic deniers. So we have to be there as the truth tellers. And I thank you.
We are now going to welcome my colleague, Alexis Goldsmith, who is the National Organizing Director for Beyond Plastics.
But truthfully, New Yorkers have no control over how much packaging is actually pumped into the market. And at the same time, many New Yorkers who are living next to waste incinerators have no control over what's pumped into the air breathing. Or if they're living next to a landfill, how many diesel trucks are driving through their neighborhoods every day. But New Yorkers want to do the right thing when they put out the recycling bin for collection. So why is it that our municipal recyclers are buried in worthless packaging that isn't recyclable? Why are thousands of new fracking wells being drilled in Appalachia, Louisiana, Texas, and the Southwest to turn ethane gas into plastic packaging? More than 40% of new plastics become single-use packaging. Nearly 200 million metric tons every year, and less than 6% of that gets recycled, while about a third winds up in the environment. We know something is broken with the recycling system because every year, our state exports nearly 5 million tons of municipal waste. That's more than half a ton of waste for every person living in New York City. And speaking of the city, New York City taxpayers are spending $429 million annually sending waste to incinerators and landfills in other places. It's easy for companies to put the words, please recycle, or the chasing arrows on a label. The problem is that packaging is not being designed to be reusable or recyclable because companies are not being held responsible for the end of life of their packaging. That's why today, all of you are here in Albany to support the Packaging Reduction and Recycling Act and the Bigger Better Bottle Bill. Voluntary pledges aren't cutting it. The New York State Climate Law Scoping Plan tells the legislature to expand the bottle bill and to completely eliminate single-use packaging to meet our climate justice obligations. New York is awash in single-use packaging that is pumped into the market by big companies. It blights our communities. It can't be recycled. It's wasting our tax dollars, and it's making climate change worse. But it doesn't have to be that way. Today, we're going to tell the legislature they can lead the way by adopting the Packaging Reduction and Recycling Act and the Bigger Better Bottle Bill this legislative session.
By Mark Dunley for Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Mid-Hudson News reports that Ulster County Executive Jen Metzger says she will sign Local Law Number 2 of 2023, designating affordable housing a public purpose and creating a legal foundation so that the county can develop, maintain, manage, and provide affordable housing. County Legislator Abe Uchitel sponsored the law and said, and I quote, Local Law Number 2 goes beyond simply affirming housing as a priority in spirit. It has laid the foundation for Ulster County to invest in groundbreaking programs that will provide new units for much-needed housing for our community, end quote. In February, in her State of the County address, Metzger proposed a housing trust with an initial investment of $15 million to build affordable housing.
Governor Kathy Hochul and many Hudson Valley officials say there is an affordable housing crisis in New York. Metzger said that one in three renters in Ulster County spend more than half their income on housing. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. Nancy Kern reports in Columbia Green Media that Representative Mark Molinaro, a Republican from Dutchess County, on April 29th voted against a bill to end a two-year moratorium on duties placed on imported cells and modules used on solar farms. Most Republicans voted for the bill, but it will not pass the Democrat-controlled Senate nor be signed by President Joe Biden. And it passed 221 to 202, which means Molinaro, breaking with his party, did not jeopardize the bill passing in the House of Representatives. Even though the vote was mostly theater, Molinaro said, and I quote, "Repealing this moratorium could force domestic companies, including those in New York's 19th congressional district, to pay over $1 billion in retroactive duties, eliminate thousands of domestic jobs, and cancel planned solar projects. I broke with my own party and voted against today's legislation because it would kneecap our advances in domestic solar energy and eliminate jobs in upstate New York," end quote. Judging from comments included in the story, Molinaro's vote won't be popular with local Republicans who seem opposed to solar power. Greene County Legislature Chair Patrick Linger, a Republican, said, and I quote, "I do not agree that it's used as a utility scale. I don't think that's the optimal use for solar," end quote. Athens Town Supervisor Michael Perrone said, and I quote, "I don't think I agree entirely with Molinaro because there may be a pilot involved with the project, which means that on a town level, the town does not get full taxation," end quote. Republican County Legislator Thomas Hobart from Coxsackie said, and I quote, "I don't see the residents of the region benefiting from the power that would be generated and would only experience the loss of open space," end quote. Molinaro represents the 19th Congressional District, though he lives in the 18th Congressional District. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. The Troy Record reports that Representative Paul Tonko introduced the New York-New Jersey Watershed Protection Act with New York Republican Representative Nicole Malliotakis to protect the Hudson, Mohawk, and Raritan Rivers and their tributaries. In the Senate, all four New York and New Jersey senators, Kirsten Gillibrand, Chuck Schumer, Cory Booker, and Bob Menendez, introduced the bill. Tonko said, and I quote, "For too long, our New York-New Jersey watershed has been grossly underfunded despite being America's most polluted watershed. I've long pushed to support this critical waterway, driving forward federal restoration efforts that will have massive ripple effects, including protecting communities from flood risk, supporting local wildlife, improving water quality, and driving economic growth," end quote. The bill would attempt to coordinate restoration efforts of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, improve water quality, increase public access to the watershed, mitigate flood risk, and provide $20 million annually for watershed restoration grants through fiscal year 2029. Read more about this story in the Troy Record. James Cutler reports for Columbia Green Media that Melissa Miller, John Chandler, Christopher Scoville, Megan Pelizer, and Kelly Fernback are running for 3 seats on the Ichabod Crane School District Board of Education in the May 16th election. Fernback of Kinderhook is an incumbent seeking re-election. Miller of Kinderhook wants to emphasize special education programs. Scoville of Kinderhook is running as a public education advocate. Chandler and Pelizer did not sit for an interview or respond to the newspaper. Voting on the 2023-24 proposed school budget, school board candidates is from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on May 16th in the Ichabod Crane High School gym. And you can read more about the candidates at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 55 degrees. Thursday night, a chance of showers before 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 44 degrees. And on Friday, a chance of showers mainly after 2 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 59 degrees. And on Friday night, a chance of showers before 8 p.m. It will be partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 43 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia counties.
What's going on? What's going on? Don't you...
All right, just one more time.
Yo, me and Cool V, this gonna be our new single. And when you hear the story, you say it's alright though. Yo, Cool V, why'd you give me a cue? One more cue and then I'm ready to go in.
You like when the winter's gone and all of a sudden it start getting warm. The trees and the grass start looking fresh and the sun in the sky be looking at best. Birds be singing, fly be booming, a lot of brand new cars be zooming. Fly girls looking the best they could be and the guys be duking, and you see. Besides all that, I like the warm weather because that's when you can get yourself together. But I like Easter time with a grand because when I little used to go to Coney Island, we used to eat a lot of stuff like cotton candy. Just back then, it was like fine and dandy. You used to get dressed up in double knits and your plaid suit jackets today with a shit. The good old days was back then, and the reason I reminisce called.
It's spring again. Everybody knows it's spring again. To the girls and boys and people above, this is the time to fall in love.
Now, girls, have you ever broke up with your boyfriend and you felt that the world was coming to an end? Sitting around the house packed for no reason, just because you thought your man was skeezing for a couple of days. Look gloomy and gray, thinking about the old happy days. All of a sudden, the telephone rang. He begged for your forgiveness, and you know what that brings. Joy and happiness into your life before you felt like your heart was stabbed by a knife. I'm telling you, girls, keep the man that you got, because if you cheat, you might need a VD shot. You know two wrongs don't make a right, and if you did something wrong, don't do the same. It's not polite. Please don't make this breaking up a trend, because...
It's spring again. Oh, everybody knows it's spring again. To the girls and boys and people above, this is the time to fall in love.
Now, fellas, have you ever met a girl that tried to front and wanted you to act like you was on a hunt? I used to see my homeboys frown and fret for a girl that always trying to play hard to get. I know I quoted myself, I must admit, and said anything you want, you gotta work hard for it. Mean a diabolical, be obsessed, and go off with something that a girl possess. They're really on yours like a pair of drawers. They want you to be like Santa Claus. They want drug dealers and four-wheelers. Truck jewelry, they expect you to steal her. Shit, I know they must be bugging. They better hit the streets and do their own mugging. But in this case, you would just overlook her. Send her on her way and say, I can't help you, hooker.
It's spring again. Everybody knows it's spring again. To the girls and boys and people above, this is the time to fall in love.
Come on, baby. Come on.
florist up on the mountain in Palinville, Hunter Way, somewhere around there. Some of the florist folks hang out. They have a new album out in 2021 called The Rock, and this song is called Top Down from Florist. Next, we have 2021 release. This one is from Poughkeepsie's Joe McPhee and Lassie Morog. The album is called Harmonious.